Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing?
Were you trying to mix that up a little bit there? Pete, how are you doing?
I don't know what
there
I'm trying
to do. There
was
a TV show in Britain called Through the Keyhole, and Sir David Frost, who obviously helped bring down Richard Nixon, one of the US's presidents. David Frost, at the end, I think at that point in his career, he was a bit of a drinker, which is, you know, absolutely fine. You know, you took down a president, you're allowed to have a drink. But he, at the end of every episode of, in the middle of every episode of Through the Keyhole, it was basically a mystery house competition. Like, you'd go, they'd show you a video clip of a house, and you had to guess which celebrity's house it was. It's a little bit like Masked Singer, but it's a house.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
and
yeah.
He was like, and he goes,
"It's a burglar's
dream." Exactly. And he goes, he would always go, "Who's? Let's find out who house this is." It just reminded me of that. Let's find out whose house this is.
It sounds like he's had a few drinks.
Well, he would reportedly famously have a little cup of coffee on his desk, and he would refill that from a little adult coffee from his little armoire that he was in, his little desk situation that he was sat behind, and he would film three a day. And you could always tell what part of the day it was, to how slurry he was. Whose house is this?
I think you could find the same with the podcast. How much, like, what time of day it is when I'm on it? In the morning, I'm a write-off. I need a whole
day
run up, a whole day of food and coffee and excitement before I sit down to do a podcast. Otherwise, I'm just really like lethargic and rubbish, and I have no opinions.
Well, they say that you should do all of your heavy lifting, all of your weight lifting in the morning, and do all of your cardio in the evening. Which I kind of understand that. It kind of makes sense, I suppose. Split it up a little bit, but
I can't do that. I find, like, I just have no, like, raw strength in the morning. I can't do anything. Like, my muscles are rubbish. So, yeah, whenever I achieve anything, it's usually sometime after 4 p.m. Anytime before that, it's not happening. But it might sound like I'm next to a jumbo jet all of a sudden. I'm next to my computer, which is rendering a video that's coming out. It's felt like a while since there's been a Abroad in Japan video. I don't really know why. Why has it been so bad? I know why. Because I spent all my time building a flying car for a 10-second
sequence. Right.
I spent like 5 days building something for what's a 10/15-second sequence. What a moron. Why have I done this? An idiot, Pete.
Yeah, well,
don't be like me.
I think what I like about this is it's kind of like, almost like meeting Gordon Ramsay in the kitchen, isn't it? It's like, kind of, you can hear the computer. Are you multitasking on your computer? Are you recording this in a window, and then in the background you've got your Mac sort of, good, yeah, this is amazing. What a powerful computer you must have.
Well, it's rendering on the iMac, and I'm speaking to you on the MacBook Pro.
We're absolutely fine. I do worry. I do worry.
a room stacked full of computers. The YouTuber lifestyle. We got a story this week from someone who claims to be the fat Vin Diesel. And it begins, "Hi there, Kinky Chris and Pervy Pete." Pervy Pete. How do you feel about that, Pete?
I don't mind it, mate. Don't worry about it.
You've accepted that with worryingly, with worrying ease.
If you're going to get upset at Lenny. This point in your life, why bother?
That's the spirit. That's the spirit, Pete. My name's Lenny, and I'm from Sweden. My brother and I, two short, chunky dudes from Sweden, went on a proper bender in Tokyo in July and stumbled into a lovely bar in Ikebukuro, where we got a solid welcome and a barrage of questions. I was wearing a new fancy shirt, which, according to my brother, made me look like a Colombian drug lord. He told one of the local bar patrons about this, and the surprised patron said, "Oh, no, no, he looks great. He looks like Vin Diesel." My brother was in shock, and the friendly man corrected himself. "Oh, sorry. I think I meant he looks like a fat Vin Diesel." And proceeded to tell me, "It's all good, because I wore my fat with pride."
It's all good.
What is this place? I still struggle to understand what that means. 2 years and many kilos less later, I returned to Tokyo with my girlfriend. Another patron, another bar, asked if we worked out, and I explained that I go to the gym now. He raised an eyebrow and said, "Oh, the gym? But you're so fat." I was only 5 kilograms overweight at this point and made it my mission to be fit as a fiddle next time I go back, though unfortunately food is just too damn tasty. You got this, Chris. You'll conquer those Alps with your six pack in no time. All the best from Fat Vin Diesel. I mean, this is pretty worrying. Every bar Lenny went in, he's getting bullied for being slightly overweight. That's pretty
unusual. I would say is that Fat Vin Diesel is very much just Vin Diesel. I think it's fair to say, surely.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how do you qualify to be a fat Vin Diesel. But there you go.
Every year he's going to come back and he's going to be thinner and thinner and thinner. It's like, how do you like me now, Tokyo? How do you fucking like me now?
What's the next level? Oh, you're anorexic now. What is like, bloody hell, honestly. Disgraceful. Solid. Fat shaming in Japan. We've talked about this before. Japan, they've got a very interesting relationship with weight. The video that I'm wrapping now, I've talked about misconceptions about Japan, right? And one of the misconceptions is that Japanese food is healthy. And I basically went through the 10 most popular dishes and categorically kind of explained how they're not healthy in any way, shape or form. And the reason Japanese people are thinner is apparently they walk 2,000 steps a day more than the average American in a day. They eat 200 calories less. They don't snack or eat stuff between meals because the carb-heavy lunch, dinner meals kind of keep them full in between. And also it's rude not to eat your dinner or lunch. You have to eat it. You have to eat everything.
Eat your dinner.
And number four, you got that external pressure, right? People bullying you and calling you Fat Vin Diesel. So it's those sort of four factors rather than, oh, they eat rice and a vegetable and a fish. It's not that. Japanese food is, obviously it's like less calories in it, but it's not as healthy as people think. Yeah. And I went on a rant about that for like 10 minutes in this video. It should be out by the time this podcast comes out. You don't think the food's healthy, do you?
I think you have the option to, if you're going to spend money on high-end sushi and stuff like that. But all the good stuff is like your okonomiyaki, just fried eggy mess in it, really eggy floury pancake, really, isn't it? But I guess like having, a bit of yakitori chicken with like barbecue sauce. I mean, that's not going to, it's chicken's pretty good for you. You're not eating a lot of. It's not really carby and like absolutely laced with the most oily oil. I think that's fair. But you're right. Like, they've just got good public transport. You can rely on it. And so it's not even worth just sitting in a car all day. I've put on a stone since I started, learned to drive, I have to admit.
I remember, yeah, I ballooned in size when I got my first car, Fiat Punto, in like 2007 or whatever it was. My weight went up like 5 kilograms in 6 months, because I'd be like, I could walk 5 metres down the road, or I could drive. And that would happen like every day. Yeah. So be careful if you get a car. And that is, yeah, that's a good reason, actually, a good point. Like, the reason they do more steps in Japan is people do commute on foot or by bicycle a lot more. And car ownership, I regret taking this out of the video now. I had a whole section on this. I kind of expanded on it, but car ownership is only 68% in Japan, right. And like in America, it's more like 95%. So, yeah, lots of factors. It's not that people just eat fish and are magically healthy. There are some interesting factors underpinning it. Anyway, fat Vin Diesel aside, what's the news of the week, Pete? What's going on in Japan this week?
Chris, you at the point of that where I see you, experience you, enjoy you, endure you of this evening, you are a sleepy boy who just wants to go to sleep and not to do his video editing. So may I recommend installing what officers all around Japan are installing: nap boxes.
What?
These are freestanding boxes that are designed for staff to sleep in, but not only sleep in, but sleep standing up. The creation came from two companies hoping to encourage a healthy office culture in Japan. The furniture specialist Itoki met with plywood supplier Goyoju Gohan, and basically they've made this sort of tube. It looks like a little rocket where you can just pop yourself in like a freestanding vertical coffin and just sit in there for a bit and have a little snooze. I'm not really sure exactly why they are vertical and not horizontal. Surely just let them sleep. If you're going to let them sleep, why is it better that they're sleeping standing up? Is that kind of like readiness of being able to sort of jump out at any moment and do some work? I don't understand why you would have a box that you stand in and you... can you sleep standing up? I don't think I can sleep standing up. It's terrible.
No. Nobody can sleep standing up. But now we're going to get a raft of emails from people that can't sleep standing up. But no, nobody does. It's probably because of space.
Yeah.
Like, offices are small. Maybe that's it. This is ridiculous. This is the second article this week I've heard about sleeping in Japanese offices. My dad sent me a message of, like, a Twitter clip. And it's an article, a story of some people in Japanese offices sleeping at their desk on a pillow. What is it with sleeping in Japan this week? This is bollocks. There's a comment beneath the photo of this tube, right? And it's like, oh, it looks like my meat smoker.
It does. It does.
It looks like
remember
smoking.
When those Chilean miners got stuck underground and they made that rocket to sort of and they would just take up one miner at a time until they extracted like loads of them. It's basically that. It basically looks like that.
They just stole it.
Wild.
They stole it from a mine in Chile. I don't really know why this is happening. Like, when I... Well, this is stupid. Like, when I worked at a school, there was a room, like a staff room, that nobody ever went in, except when they wanted to nap or make phone calls to their wife or husband. And they had, like, a tatami mat, and you could go in there, grab a pillow or whatever, and sort of curl up in a ball and fall asleep. And I usually did it if I was hungover, which was a lot more
often
than I probably should have been as a teacher, as an excellent teacher of English. But, like, you just go in there and sleep, right? So I don't know why a nap box is necessary. Have a little room, or make the nap box lie down like a coffin. Don't make it stand up like a smoking. Like
at least
like
lean it over. What? At least you can sort of lean it up. To be fair, even the Japanese are going, I mean, why even made it vertical? That's just ridiculous. It looks like Tintin's rocket. It's just absolutely stupid. Nobody sleeps like a bird. So I don't think it's going to catch on personally. Give us a little room. Just give us a little space underneath your desk. Make it acceptable. Just have a little snooze. I've said it before on this very podcast, I appreciate an afternoon snooze. I'm probably going to do one this afternoon. I was out drinking yesterday. dear.
I mean, I don't really know. People work very long hours in Japan. We know that. Like, some people do over 80 hours of overtime each month, which is insane. And often it's unpaid, right? So overtime in Japan is unpaid. And it's kind of expected you're going to do it if you want to get a pay rise or you want to get promoted they will look at not necessarily who's done the best work, but who's been there in the room physically the longest. And also, you can't often leave until your boss has left, and your boss will be a dick and not ever leave the office and just sit there all evening. So I guess that's it. It's a reaction to that, maybe. I've got a better idea. Why not just remove overtime and let people fucking go home and live a life? Why is the work-life balance so bad? Like, honestly, Japan needs to address its strict office culture and ridiculous overtime rather than building an upright coffin for people to sleep in. Like, why do they look at situations of problems like this that are so easy to solve? Just make things thrice as complicated.
Don't have that weird culture.
It's drying out the wall, honestly. But there you go, guys. What do you think of that? Check it out. check out nap boxes in Japan. Google that and get ready for insanity. We'll be back in just a moment with your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/Japan.
And we're back with a fax machine. What do we got this week for our listeners, Mr. Dolce?
We've got a message from Colin. Good morning, afternoon or evening, Colin. Dear Chris and Pete, I recently visited Chris's lovely hometown of Maidstone and went to Moat Park, which has a tourist attraction called the Historic Waterfall. After faffing about trying to find it, it turned out to be a 2-foot-high dribble of water over some rocks. Very disappointed. But there was an ice cream hut nearby, so not all bad. Have you ever been excited to visit a tourist attraction in Japan, only to find something equally disappointing? All the best, Colin. I have only ever seen one waterfall in Japan, and Chris took me to it, and it was very beautiful. So
did I?
Yeah, you did. You took me to a big waterfall. It was very nice.
When?
Yeah, no,
you've made it up.
I did it.
You've lied.
I've got pictures. I'll prove it.
You got pictures.
I've got pictures.
I felt the King Kakuji Temple was a bit disappointing in Kyoto. Mm. I don't. It's not that the. I mean, to be fair. It was more the atmosphere. Like the temple itself is impressive.
Yeah.
But a lot of places like that in Kyoto, they're overwhelmed with tourists. Not only do you have like crowds of people so you can't enjoy it.
Yeah.
But like you have to sort of go, you're sort of ushered down these narrow pathways and you sort of bumble down it. Mm. And you're in and out really quickly. And it's not a fun experience. I guess that it's more just the tourism aspect of it. But yeah, King Kakuji always pissed me off. and what else? Is there anything you've been let down by in Japan? You've travelled a fair bit.
I don't know. I think I think anything that kind of like is in every tourist book and on every tourist video is always going to be a bit of a shame. I think the Roppongi Tokyo Tower is a piece of shit.
Roppongi Tokyo,
like the Tokyo Tower. The Tokyo Tower in Roppongi is just a copy of the Eiffel Tower, but they have those things in every town. They got one in Sapporo. We went up it, didn't we? Like a big old tower. So the proliferation of the amount of copies of the Eiffel Tower is stark. Very amusing to me.
Yeah, I mean, there was there's a place I went to in Kyushu that claimed to be the Venice of Japan.
Yes, okay.
I think it was called Yanagawa. Mm. Yanagawa. I think I'm right in thinking it was Yanagawa. I did a video there and I was quite ill that day, but it was just not very good.
Right.
And I remember I really wanted to film it. Is it Yanagawa? No, it's not Yanagawa. There's somewhere else. Shit. Anyway, there's everywhere claims to be the Venice of Japan, right? Loads of places. The only good one's Kurashiki. And I did a video there called, like, being vegan in Japan for a day.
Right.
And if you watch that, it's absolutely stunning. But there's a few towns like that that claim to be the Venice of Japan, and it's just like a sodden, like a puddle and a boat in it and a man looking very grumpy. So be careful which Venice of Japan you go to. The one place that did really surprise me in a good way, right, was the Tottori sand dunes, like the massive sand dunes.
Yeah.
Right? Because you see this, for years I'd seen it as like this, the desert of Japan. And so I thought, it's going to be rubbish.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a small clump of sand. But I got there and it was absolutely astonishing. Huge, and the scenery was amazing. And the gene was really bloody tall. Like, you wouldn't want to walk up it. I kicked Natsuki down it. He struggled to get back up. It was brilliant. I want to go back there and do something. So that was like a good example of something that did impress me. But yeah, heaven knows. Oh no, I went to a place called the Grand Canyon of Japan, right?
Right, okay.
And it's like, it's the shittest thing I've ever seen. They were really clutching at straws. You have this with certain prefectures that don't have things.
Yeah.
They like make something up, like, oh, the smallest mountain in Japan, right? There's a few places that claim to have the smallest mountain in Japan. It's like a hill that's 1 metre high. There's one in, like, near Sendai, and they're like, oh, it's the smallest mountain. It's not a fucking
it's
mountain.
It's not a mountain, then, is it?
It's a mountain of
something
sand.
Something silly.
It's just annoying. Yeah, Grand Canyon of Japan.
Brilliant.
It was like a hill with nothing of value.
Lovely stuff.
And I was so angry. They made me drive to it. I was doing like an article, and I had to like go and explore it and take photos and write about it. I drove for 3 hours to this remote corner of Aomori, looked, and I was like, I can't see it. And they were like, you're in it. This is it. And I was like, what? What? Do you know what I've been through to get here?
Yeah.
So yeah, be careful. Do your homework first, because right, there's a lot of places in Japan that like to big themselves up, but not as much as Maidstone's historic waterfall. I didn't even know that was a thing. Nick says, hi Chris and Pete, I've read that in upper class sushi restaurants they encourage you to eat with your hands instead of using chopsticks. I prefer to eat sushi with my fingers since I can dip it in the soy sauce easier, but I'm wondering how common is it in lower class sushi restaurants such as Sushiro, my favourite kaiten sushi chain in Japan. Am I allowed to do this? Many thanks guys. Nick, well, Nick, you are allowed to do it. There's no rules. I don't like doing it because it's just messy and you get soy sauce all over your fingers. I think the reason they do it upper class sushi restaurants or high end chains, right, they brush the soy sauce on the sort of on top of the fish, so you don't need to dip it in. It's all ready for you to go. They present it to you expertly curated and handcrafted, and then you pick up with your fingers and gulp it down. Whereas at like another sushi restaurant, like a conveyor belt sushi place, you have to do that yourself.
Right.
Peasant style. You have to pick things up and actually dip them in the soy sauce. And, so I use chopsticks because I don't like getting it all over my fingers.
Right.
What about you, Pete? Any preference?
No, I don't mind. I don't mind a bit of finger action after your mate was your mate, the big dog, was doing it. Yuki was eating it with his hands, and I was like, oh, he's just a cool dude, isn't he? So he's just a cool dude, isn't he?
I remember that time we went for sushi in Sakata after we'd seen Natsuki, and you were astonished that the man had made the sushi with his hands.
Yes.
You were like, yeah, oh God, he touched it. What's that? What's all that about? That's how sushi's made.
Why
did that surprise you?
It's just a bit intense just watching a man fart about with your food with his hands, and you're like, oh, no, oh dear. Oh, no.
I mean, I went to like one of the best sushi restaurants in Miyagi Prefecture once, and the sushi was exceptional, and I enjoyed it, and so I went back again on a date a few months later, and then I looked at the guy's hands and his fingernails were all like mangled and black and falling off,
filthy,
and I was like, no, I didn't want to see that. I don't want to see that. Maybe because he's making sushi it's like affected his fingers and hands,
right? But yeah.
Once I saw that, I was a bit reluctant to go back.
He's been filleting the fish just by pulling it apart.
But I wonder, I don't know, I don't think COVID has affected how sushi's made in Japan. I don't think people use gloves. Sometimes they use plastic gloves, right. But really, they would argue that it's not like real sushi craftsmanship, right? It has to be done with your fingers raw. But yeah, it's a weird thing. Yeah. It's a weird thing.
Good stuff.
Got one here from Alex. Over to you, Pete.
We got a message from Alex, and he says, hello, Chris and Pete. I'm not the biggest fan of sun cream. Generally feeling sticky all day is not fantastic, but I'd rather that than burn. Living in Japan, do you have to wear sunscreen every day in the spring or summer months? Does it become part of your morning routine, or do you stay inside mostly, dodging between buildings to escape the heat? That's got to be the plan, hasn't it? Just kind of like running from air conditioning train to building pretty constantly.
I don't wear sun cream in everyday life here. It's actually been really rainy this year, so there's been like no sun this summer, so that's good. But yeah, you do get sunburnt to pieces really fast on Journey Across Japan, the most recent series that's coming out in just a week or two. We're in Okinawa, and it was about April, and it was extremely hot, and I got heat stroke, sunstroke every single day. And it really fucked me up, and I was really taken out of it. I didn't really get badly sunburned, but the heat, I don't know what it did to me, but it just like knocked me out every day, and I was on really bad form for the series, and I'm not looking forward to editing it and my crappy performance as a result.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, it's something to worry about.
Something to worry about.
You burn to pieces really easily, don't you, Pete?
Yeah, but I mean, it's usually because I've been stupid and not put sunscreen on. But okay, I can rock a tan every now and again if I get a little bit of time in the sun. I'm looking pretty red right now. I put limited amounts of sunscreen on yesterday, and it was so hot. We were out in I'll talk about it in the next show, but I was out in a field all day, so it was just a bit much after a while. I'm not a natural sun worshipper. My partner very much is. She can stay out there for fucking ages, but me, I'm just like, oh Jesus.
Yeah, I suck at it. I remember when I did the Shimanami Kaido, the the cycle over the inland sea of Japan. Right, the first time I did that. Height of August, absurd temperatures, extremely humid, sun was out, and I just got incinerated. And I got like the worst, like dangerous heat stroke. By the end of the day, I was like bedridden. And I couldn't get out of bed for like 2 or 3 days. I just felt so rough. So my friend was smart. He wore a hat. I had like a bandana, which did nothing.
It's horrible.
It protected
stuff.
Like a little bit of my forehead.
Right.
I just want to look cool. I didn't care about health and safety. I just want to look cool. This sweaty bandana. It's a lot of fun, mate. But I won't be doing that again in August.
No.
Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Guys, we'll be back later in the week to do all over again. But for now, no matter where you are out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week. And we'll see you right back here to do all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now. Boom.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.